SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. Midweek, and the week is kind of accelerated in a lot of ways, with particularly the Friday opener at Oaklawn. And I almost don't know what to handicap and latch on to first. There's really a lot happening all at once. And, of course, tomorrow they'll get the 2018 season. We'll put the finishing touches on it. Well, I guess technically we've got NHC. That also counts toward the finishing touches of 2018. But when they clear off the hardware distribution tomorrow night, at Gulfstream for the Eclipse Awards, we'll get the significant storylines. We'll have a final chapters on that front. And then as soon as Friday dawns, between the opening at Oaklawn, which is going to be exciting, and I know Ed DeRosa is going to be down there, so when we talk to Ed, that'll be fun. The Smarty Jones getting plenty of attention, I think, and I know when we talk later to, not later, but tomorrow to Steve Haskin, we'll get his three-year-old thoughts, and we'll touch on it with Sid Fernando as well when we do Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale. In the second hour, we'll talk about the three-year-olds that were successful Saturday, and I happened to follow up a little bit with Mike Trombetta, and there's reason to be very excited. I can tell Mike is increasingly pleased the way Win 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 came out of the Pasco, and the big figure performance, and the inclination appears to be to wait for 6 weeks, Tampa Bay Derby, and then he'd get one more prep if he's going to make a Triple Crown season appearance and run. So we want to get some opinions from Sid as to the son of Hattrick, a strong female family. We just touched on it a little bit with Mike the other day, including the presence of that one filly that I'm trying to find the photo. I've got a photograph. It might, maybe it's on Facebook. I've got a photograph somewhere of Snow Cone. Just an absolutely gorgeous filly, Mrs. Weber's. So we'll get some opinion. Fun to have some Sunday silence, sire line potential on the Derby trail. So we'll see what Sid thinks. We'll also get a little bit on War of Will as well. And there's actually some Warfront on display as part of the Gulfstream action on Saturday. So between, which I want to get to, the Oaklawn card that kicks things off is only part of what has become I guess we could call it midwinter calendar boost to the wagering opportunities, and that includes Sam Houston, which kicks off as well on Friday, and they've got their Sunday card ready to go, and it includes the Houston Ladies Classic, the return, the seasonal debut of Midnight Bisou. She'll be obviously a short price in there, but Midnight Bisou starts her four-year-old campaign in the Houston Ladies Classic. Mike Smith will travel to Sam Houston, and got a actually a handful of mounts, and it's a very nice little snake card that, in addition to the Ladies Classic, has got the Connolly, the turf race, and Mike Maker is always well represented. He's got Bigger Picture, probably be about even money, 4-5 on the morning line, on Nick Tamaro's morning line, Market Off as well for Maker. Smith will actually ride Market Off. So the two graded stakes on the Houston calendar. Then there's also a handful of $50,000 and $75,000 stakes that make up a very nice card on Sunday. And we'll talk to Mary Rampolini probably either tomorrow or I might even reach out to Mary today. But Mary's got a busy week. She's got Oaklawn and Sam Houston kicking off. So she's been busy with the stakes previews and, of course, at Oaklawn, in addition to the Smarty Jones on Friday, they've got the American Beauty on Saturday. I haven't looked at the whole calendar. I wonder where they put the Fifth Season, which was the old traditional stake opener on the Oaklawn calendar. But these first three cards at Oaklawn, really attractive. And, of course, the outlandish purse structure, $77,000 maiden races. And there's a few of those on the card on Friday. You've got Phillies, three-year-olds going short. You've got that's the fourth race. Then you've got boys going. Actually, you got those two divisions. I mentioned that. In fact, there's a funny thing. I'm glad that came up again. I mentioned it to you yesterday about the Comité, the Spitestown sisters, the Munnings sisters, the dams for Chuck Fipke. I got to remind myself to bring it up with Sid later. I texted him about it. But in addition to those two divisions, there's also three-year-old boys going a mile and a 16th in the nightcap. And this, I guess, has potential to feed into the Southwest. Joe Sharp has got a 2-1 favorite, Proud Nation, in there. So we'll look forward to probably talk Oaklawn kickoff, particularly tomorrow, and then into the weekend. We'll see where Ed is, what Rose's schedule is, and then Sam Houston for Sunday. So the two new faces on your wagering menus going forward. Then, of course, diving into the Gulfstream card for Saturday. And there's a whole bunch of treats in store for you if you haven't had a chance. And I'm still, it printed out, I think, 41 pages, if I'm not mistaken. I think 41 pages. Was it 41? Yeah, 41 pages for the 13 race card. 13 or 12? Whatever. 12 race card. And the fun part, aside from the stakes, that you're already familiar with from yesterday's draw, people looking a little more at the turf and the main track Pegasus additions. Diving into the McKnight 14 horse field for that long running mile and a half event, including, if you hadn't noticed, the return to North America by Hunting Horn for Coolmore, shipped with Magic Wand. Hunting Horn draws midfield. I do see that Market Off is cross-entered here, too, with Sam Houston. So I guess there's the potential for him to run here. But Mike Maker has got two others that he did enter in here, Solio and Zulu Alpha. So we'll see what Maker's decision is on that front. The Fred Hooper, the 1 mile, one turn extended sprint that's got the likes of Cole Front and Coppertown. You've got the return of a few other pretty solid one-turn type, 7/8 mile types, Breaking Lucky and Conquest Big E, Aztec Sense, Fellowship, Unbridled Juan. Feels like he's been around for 15 years. And Luch and Anthony Quartarolo, Mo Don't Know, in there as well. The hard-hitting Ohio bred. The Le Prevoyant. 12 furlongs on the grass for the fillies and mares. How about the Hurricane Birdie? And of course, Hurricane Birdie came up with Cassie, where Shamrock Rose, who very well could be running in this spot as the filly and mare sprint champion after tomorrow night. We'll see. Awestruck in there for Rusty Arnold, Watts Humphrey. Dream Pauline, this is a nice field. Blamed. It came up nice. The South Beach, 7.5 on the grass, fillies and mares. You've got the two turf sprints, and in fact, in some ways, there's as much an exciting start to the day on the stakes portion. You got the rematch of Stormy Liberal and World of Trouble. How great is that? And Pay Any Price. And of course, the Matisse family, very frustrated last year when they could not get into the Breeders' Cup with Pay Any Price. Ended up also eligible. He's going to get his chance on his home track against the Heavy Heads. Group of eight. And it's a heavyweight confrontation. Recruiting ready in there, too. Stan Huff and Sagamore. You got a little Chesney, Belle Tapisserie, Oak Bluffs, Mary Epler. And the ladies' version, too. So, nine stakes as part of that card and some good maiden events as well. The first race of the day, mile and a 16th on the grass, including the debut of Friary, did not draw well. The Warfront Colt out of Moyne Abbey, which makes Friary a brother of Wicked Strong, and Jorge Duarte Jr., seems to have pretty much taken over the training for Colt's Neck for Santulli from Alan Goldberg, who appears to be pretty well close to retired. There's also a $700,000 Bedaglia Doro. This didn't come up. Did Broadway Doro come up with Cassie the other day? I don't think so. Debuting for Jack Oxley. A lot going on. Value Engineering, too, in there for Chad Brown and Seth Klarman. Let's take a break here. We'll come right back Wednesday at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Pick on SiriusXM Radio.
She wants everything. She wants the Gucci and the Louis Vuittons. All the juicy and canary blend. She wants the kind of things that gonna stain. And she won't give it up until you give her just about enough. Enough to make a lover burn. Now do you want that love? Do you need that love? It's gonna make you burn. It's gonna make you burn.
We're back at the races.
Do you want that love?
I love doing the pedigree work on these maiden races, and you know, it's getting to be the end of January, which means time to go for, you know, particularly the main track hopefuls. And in addition to that turf race, there's the fourth at Gulfstream on Saturday as well that needs to be have some attention paid to it. Going to go a flat mile, the boys, and there's some things that are hinting at quality, including Samaranti, the Violence Colt for Chad Brown, and Sumaya U.S. This Violence Colt, $725,000 yearling, bred by Hill and Dale, out of Holiday Birdie. You got Todd coming back with the Spendthrift Starlight for Samurai Gelding. This was that May fall of Ranger Up, and just so happened that Ranger Up found himself in the maiden race with Cave Run, that nice Owen Hardy maiden winner that ran okay behind Win, Win, Win. Cave Run, third, I think, right? Was he third in the Pasco? Ran okay. Ranger Up comes back in this spot. He was $575,000 at Keeneland as a yearling. Chad's got a second one here. A little less expensive than the Sumaya runner. High Amplitude for Seth Klarman. This is a Bernardini Colt, $110,000 Keeneland yearling. There's a little bit of everything in here. Bill Mott with a Judmont homebred has to debut from the rail down the chute. That's a little tricky. But Joel Rosario in town, and he gets the call. Hidden Scroll. This is a hard spun out of the Empire Maker Mare Sheba Queen. So There's a lot going on. George Navarro has a horse for Gelfenstein, a Creative Cause colt, who just keeps running second. Has run second three times. He ran into Lucky Lee, then he ran into Cutting Humor, and then Come On Jerry, and he's run three very solid races, but he's got nothing to show for it. And I mean, he's got, you know, some earnings, but Should also mention Bob LaPenta, who's got a Union Rags colt debuting with Todd. Bye-bye Man, a Forging Oaks bred that was bought at Saratoga. Union Rags out of a Pulpit mare. So that fourth race is going to be closely watched. You know, the problem with a day like this Pegasus Day is that there's so much going on that it just gets, you know, the races like that kind of get lost in the haze. There's a very good, you know, the South Beach I mentioned came up really good with Capla Temptress and Dina Del Sur and more. Conquest Hard Candy, who's now with Antonio Sano. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun Saturday. And, of course, in addition to this card, there's certainly no shortage of nice racing. We talked about Saturday at Aqueduct with Andy, and we talked, or at least hinted, at, you know, the rest of the Saturday activities. You've got Santa Anita has got kind of a mixed bag of, we'll talk to Tom Quigley, we've got a mixed bag of a Sunshine Million remnant, as well as a couple of Cal Cup races and more. So, as well as the unusual heat. Four stakes at Santa Anita on Saturday. Pete Fornatel is going to join us shortly. Got a couple of pieces of news I want to weave in as the morning unfolds. So a little personnel note that I want to mention. Did you see that Tom McGreevy, of course, is handling exclusively the bloodstock advice for Michael Stinson, but Fasic Tipton has signed on McGreevy to basically, you know, lead the, or at least join, become a prominent member, just by reputation, of the yearling inspection process. And, of course, you know, the very untimely and sad passing of Bill Graves last year, last May or June, and, you know, the loss of Bill Graves, I mean, one of those people that, I mean, virtually impossible to replace. And just the fact that that somebody at the level, you know, the reputation of McGreevy comes in, it gives you an idea of just what Bill Graves, you know, what he meant to the operation, to, you know, have to reach out and bring in McGreevy. Bill Graves was, as you heard from Boyd Browning, that at the time, just a historic import on the sales scene. So I thought that was interesting, McGreevy joining up. And another personnel note, the Evans family, Ralph and daughter Lauren, they've sent Diversify to Jonathan Thomas. Thomas will get started slowly. No early plans yet for Diversify, but Jonathan, with some very kind of things to say about being in a position like this, to he called it humbling to be chosen to replace Rick for the Evans family. So Diversify will start his season soon, and watch for him out of the Thomas barn. And you know, just on a horse coming back for the year note, there was a question posed on my website at Derby Trail about Proctor's Ledge, whether she was going to the breeding shed or whether she was campaigning. And I reached out to Brendan Walsh yesterday, and he said, absolutely, she's coming back. Slightly she didn't have a bad year last year, but she didn't win the big races that you might have thought or kind of hoped. But she made more money last year than she did the year before. But she's back, and she's at Palm Meadows in late spring, probably. Early, you know, probably Keeneland, if you had to guess right now, or maybe, you know, maybe late in the winter. So, a couple of thoughts. I've got plenty more, including the result from Sunday, and I will discuss this more with the West Coast conversations. But in the megahertz on Monday, I didn't give you this yesterday. Vasilika starts her season with a win. But it had to be really a bittersweet circumstance. Over the weekend, Dan Gatto had passed of a heart attack on Saturday, and in his 60s. Very, very sad. I feel terrible for the family, and it had to be very tough on Monday. But, of course, Gatto Racing and the family, his son Nick and everybody, hearts go out. And we'll get a chance. We'll reach out to Jerry Hollendorfer. But Vasilika won that megahertz. And the Skipshot daughter basically closed out a pretty dominant weekend for Flavian Pratt, who had a one on Sunday as well, won the Astra. For Baltus with that Pants on Fire, and he was also aboard the nice winner for Baffert on Desman. So I really extend our sympathies to the Gattos and all the friends that are involved. That's a nice big partnership group that have been taken on an unexpected ride with Vasilika. Really been great. Let's pause on the news front and bring in Pete Fornatale and get the midweek conversations going. Pete, good morning.
Good morning to you, Steve. Great to be here with you. Today is a scramble around Brooklyn day, trying to get the ducks in a row, flying over to London tomorrow for really, I think, the first pure business trip I've taken. I'm just heading over, doing three nights on the new channel on Sky Racing, and then coming right back here, hopefully going to have a chance to see some friends and do some stuff during the day for the way that the time difference works over there, and really looking forward to working with some new colleagues. And actually, I've set foot in the Sky Racing studios in West London, but I haven't had an opportunity to work in them yet. So I'm kind of excited, a little bit of butterflies getting going on this new gig.
And you know, you mentioned it, and I saw the little blurb on Twitter or wherever that they were going to have you come over and do this. And so it's like an in studio simulcast, sort of like what Naira does sometimes with, you know, with like Dubai World Night, the World Cup Night, and the way they do it with Christoph, in fact, the coverage that they did for the Arc Day from the studio, that kind of coverage.
I think that's a very good comparison. I'm hoping in time, especially if the reaction to the turf race is as strong as I think it is, that eventually they'll find a way to get some on-site coverage for Sky Racing from Pegasus Night. But for this first year of the turf race, and with Sky Racing only days into covering USA Racing, it kind of made sense to keep it close to home, and I was very gratified that they showed some interest in flying me over to do the coverage. And hopefully, as the year goes on and time goes on, we'll get to do more things along these lines. I wonder what it means for me for the Triple Crown Trail, though, Steve. It's possible for Derby, Preakness, and Belmont. I'll be in Hounslow instead of on site. But, you know, we'll cross those bridges when we get to them, and eventually, hopefully, we'll get to a point where I can be participating in coverage of USA events from on-site and just beaming stuff back to London.
That's cool. And how much, you know, how much U.S. action, I mean, do they take? You know, we're, you know, we know from this side, we have seen more and more of the international content, you know, added to, you know, to the various distribution networks. And you know, people take various interests. I mean, we're doing stuff with Hong Kong, for instance. We've certainly taken Dubai racing over the years, but I've never heard the flip side of this, which is, and I don't even think I've brought it up with Nick Luck now that I think about it. You know, how much American racing is taken in, and what kind of volume there is.
Sky Racing is covering USA stuff every night. I've had the opportunity to be a phone guest during the coverage, offering thoughts on Gulfstream and Tampa races. Basically, their racing ends, or some evenings they will have an all-weather meet that they obviously give priority to, but then strategically around the all-weather meeting, they will drop in whatever the best USA stuff is. There's a lot of the NYRA circuit on there. I'm not sure exactly on the new channel which meetings, how many meetings a night are being taken, but I know that the stateside coverage has continued unabated. So there's really quite a lot. If you're sitting at home after the all-weather over there and you want to watch racing still and bet on racing, you can do so. And there are bookies who will take the action as well. They're making lines for the stakes races ahead of time. They're much more conservative with the in and out stuff, the prices coming from the shops just minutes before. It can actually be a little tricky as a pundit, because by the time you say the price on air, the price may have changed, but I guess it's not really different than Parimutuel in that respect. But there's quite a bit of interest, I know, from the podcast and just looking at the stats of where people come from. We have a small but loyal portion of folks who follow from over there. There's some very interesting opportunities, of course, because you do have that opportunity to bet fixed price and to bet on the exchange if you're a UK or Irish fan who's interested in the USA stuff. And that cross-pollination between the jurisdictions has only helped, I think, increase interest, because they know more of the horsemen. They know some of the horses between Ascot and the Breeders' Cup. So it's definitely a small section of the marketplace over there, but it is very real, and I think something that is hopefully going to continue to grow, and I know I'm very excited to be a part of and continue to be a part of for Sky Racing.
That's cool. Well, you got a lot to dig into too. I just was mentioning this card at Gulfstream. I mean, you got these two features obviously that are garnering the most attention, but the other seven stakes, and then fold in the maiden races. It's a big day of racing.
I'm setting aside the entire flight, a few hours today, and the entire flight tomorrow to hopefully dive in and come up with some ideas, because it would be really fun if we can give the viewers something interesting. I'm also going to be writing a piece, which I'll tweet out, which are going to be runner-by-runner previews of the two big ones. But the quick look through the card suggests, Steve, that you're exactly right. There's a lot of meat on the bone here, even beyond those first two. Certainly going to be interesting for those participating in the Pegasus World Cup Betting Championship, a lot of opportunities to spend the money. It's a two-day contest, but my gut looking through quickly is that you're going to be handling a lot more on Saturday than on Friday, though of course that means there could be some great opportunities for those who want to be aggressive on Friday, because I think so many people are going to be waiting to bet on this loaded Saturday card. Had the pleasure yesterday on the In the Money Players podcast of catching up with Eddie Olczyk, the inaugural champion from the Pegasus contest. He's looking forward to defending his title remotely. He'll be at the NHL All-Star Game playing along on ExpressBet. A lot of people are heading down there, though. There's a bonus that you can win for playing in person, and a lot of contest players already descending on the Hallandale area, South Florida, for what promises to be a cracking weekend of racing.
Well, it's funny. Ray Arsenault is going to join us too. Ray is like the I can't even call him unofficial. I think Ray's something of the official. He's like a Walmart greeter for the contest.
The Godfather, Ray.
There you go.
He, you know, those guys did such a great job, Lorne and Alan and Ray, of helping to get this Pegasus contest going. And they were very smart. They did it in enough of an outsider's way where they can still participate in it. But certainly I think everybody agrees it wouldn't have happened if not for their excellent efforts. And it's great to see this contest looking like it's going to be significantly stronger this year from what the little birds were telling me in terms of participation. I think that they're very pleased with the numbers, and I think they've come up with they're just showing that this financial model can be a win-win, not unlike the World Horse Players Tour, where the house is putting up the purse, not the players, and that enables the players to churn so much that it can cover that amount. It's a very interesting business model and the kind of thing that there's some more kinks to be worked out, but it should get to a point where contests can take another big leap forward. We've been taking it's been a lot of incremental progress the last few years, steady progress. This type of business model has the opportunity to blow contests up to the next level and hopefully just show the whole industry what a growth area they are and what a net positive they can be for everybody, and we can learn some stuff about ourselves, really help racing in the process. The Pegasus contest, definitely one of the most exciting things going from a horse player's perspective, and Ray and the lads deserve a lot of credit for that.
Well, and Ray's going to join us when we're done here, and the bankroll application part, and the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge has so much to be thanked, I guess, for increasing the awareness of what the live money format, what it could do, because there is that response to the contest scene that, for a certain period, it seemed there was the uncertainty what it was bringing to the party, and this is, I guess, more tangible. I mean, for me, it didn't matter if it was, mythical bankroll and people playing along outside of the pools. It was still a positive because plenty of people that were playing that way were also involved in the pools, and it never made sense to me that there were segments of the industry that were uncertain as to the value of the contest element, but the bankroll, it really answers that. The live money, I hope that makes it very tangible to everybody as to what this offers.
The numbers are overwhelming when you look at an event like the Breeders' Cup, as big of a deal as that is, as many thousands of people are there. 15% of the on-track handle in a typical year is coming just from the players in that contest room. Now, that doesn't even account for the fact that those same players are also playing outside the contest. I think the estimates I heard back in the day were about another 6% is probably the contest players and their pals sitting with them, and the bets that they're making in the pick three and the pick six that aren't counted in the contest. And, of course, it's all the better because this is money where the industry gets hold of that golden dollar. They make so much more money for the money bet on track. No doubt that the live bankroll contest give us a chance, exactly like you said, Steve, to quantify that, make it tangible. And, I mean, the numbers we saw from our World Horse Players Tour pilot still amaze me. In 3 days, at Santa Anita, the players we brought in, it was about 85 players, they bet $1 million. I mean, this is $1 million of golden dollar on-track handle coming from the contest world. Folks really need to pay attention. If they're not already in the industry, pay attention to what contests can mean in terms of giving them the shot in the arm and lifting the horse players, but not just the horse players, players, also the tracks, and therefore everybody in the horsemen, everybody in the industry can benefit from putting an emphasis on this stuff. And Gulfstream have shown, Strana Group have done a great job getting it done and getting this Pegasus contest off the ground the last couple of years, and I really look forward to seeing what's going to happen this time around. Last time, very dramatic finish. Olchek, as he describes it, down 5 goals in the third period of the Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, comes out winning. Will it be somebody coming from the back of the pack this year, or will somebody put on one of these tour de force performances and go wire to wire? I'm really looking forward. I'll be scouring Twitter on the breaks on Saturday night between the show to see everything that goes down, and I'm sure Ray will have plenty more to say about it as well coming up here on At the Races with you, Steve.
Well, and I'm trying to pull up the weekend, anything from the weekend that we gave a couple of those spots, and I don't see the results that I was hoping for to get a couple of names. Well, in the meantime, we can at least, in addition to the betting challenge, I wanted to see this weekend who else. We're running out of time for Vegas, and here we go. Boy, amazing. I can't, there we go. All right. So, no, I don't, I don't see, I guess, yeah, the Tampa, I don't see results for the Tampa, the two spots from Tampa on Saturday.
I'll take this opportunity, Steve. I know you've got plenty of people in the contest world who listen, contest directors and such. I'm very happy, and especially now with no political obligations, to really have the website for the In the Money Players podcast become a place where we can post really almost any results of any. I don't think I want to get into doing every online contest. Folks know how to find those, but for live contests, people who are running them, please feel free to reach out. I'm happy to run releases about the events, put up standings. I think people in the contest world, I know you and me, Steve, and we know from our listeners, the listeners want to hear it too. The more we can do to get this information out there and maybe try to put it in one place, I think the happier a lot of contest players will be to be able to follow everything going on. And once I get some more of my ducks in the row in terms of the podcast, I can try to hunt this stuff down. But it's always easier if folks can send a little note our way, a little press release, even if you and me are the only ones who are going to do something with it. It would be very helpful to spread the word, and that's only going to help the contest directors the next time they run one, because that name will be more on the minds of horse players everywhere. And people will travel to your racetrack to go to contests. I mean, Tampa is a perfect example. There's plenty of horse players I could see, if publicized right, choosing that weekend to make a trip down there. A lot of people have heard how nice Tampa is, and if they're going to want to go check it out, one of these people who has the bucket list of going to as many tracks as possible, they might well circle the weekend to go where it's cold in the Northeast, and they know they can play in a contest. So feel free to reach out, and we're willing to help.
Excellent. Well, I will continue to try to dig up more information. In the meantime, Pete, have a terrific trip over there, and we'll look forward to a recap next week. I'm wondering, is there a way for us? I guess we can't really watch you, huh? We can't.
I don't think so. I think I'm going to be geo-blocked, but I am going to have my written analysis. Obviously, you guys will cover it from soup to nuts, but if anybody's interested in what I have to say, if you follow me at LoomsBoldly on Twitter, I'll send out the two previews. Who knows, maybe I can get a little snippet, too, and send that out over Twitter just so you can see me sitting next to Sean Boyce and make fun of my hat or whatever.
I love it. Looms Boldly, and of course the new podcast. And remind everybody how they can access it.
Absolutely. That blog I mentioned before is the easiest way, inthemoneypodcast.com. That will give you an embedded link to the show as well as send you to iTunes. If you're an Apple Podcast subscriber, just search for In the Money Players Podcast. Please subscribe. The numbers have been really strong. Very grateful to the fans who've come along for the ride, but always looking to get new people on as well. If you like the kinds of things Steve and I talk about here, you're sure to like the show. Jonathan Kinchin joins in. Tuesday shows, we recap. Friday shows, we look forward. Sound familiar, Steve? And then we have lots of guests. In fact, Steve, I would love, maybe ahead of the NHC, since you've done such a great job covering it over the years, I'd like to turn the table soon and have you on our show so we can yap with you about what you've seen change at the NHC in the time you've been going. You up for that?
Sure, of course. Happy to.
Excellent.
Happy to.
Some night, yes. Some night you're not completely exhausted, we'll record something.
You name the spot. You let me know. Happy to do it.
Thank you, my friend.
Pete Fornatel, everybody, and he heads to the UK, and we can maybe get an on-site update on Brexit when you get back as well.
I'm sure it's all anybody's going to want to talk about, and I'm going to be three steps behind just because I've only read yesterday's newspapers. That's how fast it seems to be moving over there.
I love it. Pete Fornatel, folks. We'll take a break here, come back. Ray Arsenault will fill out the hour, and we'll talk to Ray about the contest that starts Friday. So two more days to gather up if you want to get a partner, you know, the way Nick Tamaro and Philly Joe, the way they're approaching it. They're partnered up. 12,000 buy-in, and that goes right into your play. And then the Stronach Group putting up the prize money. It's a pretty good format, and Ray was instrumental in having the format established and showing what the value was to the Stronach Group. So we'll talk to Ray after this. I haven't seen Ray in ages. We'll talk to him next.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When they kick at your front door, how are you gonna come? With your hands on your head or on the trigger of your gun? When the law breaks in, how are you gonna go? Shot down on the pavement or waiting in death row? You can crush us, you can bruise us, but you'll have to answer to the guns of Brixton.
We're back at the races. About 10 minutes to the top of the hour, and it's an absolute pleasure to get Ray Arsenault back on the show, the NHC champion a couple of seasons ago, and one of the real fun additions to the landscape of high-profile players. And Ray, of course, instrumental in having the Stronach Group craft a contest around Pegasus Weekend. It starts Friday. Ray, good to talk to you.
Yes, good morning, Steve. Great, thanks for having me on.
Everything good?
Yes, actually, I was just listening to you and Pete talk there, and I loved me being the Walmart greeter. I think if I ever need a job, I think that'd be great thing for me. So, no, that was fun, and I really appreciate Pete. He's really plugged the contest on your show and yourself and on his podcast. So, yeah, this is very exciting times for us. Our committee, Lauren Allen and Ross Gallo and myself, we're really looking forward to this year. Last year was the start, and this year it'll be a lot better. And we're hoping down the road it'll be as good as the Breeders' Cup or better.
It has all the potential. You look at the card for Saturday, and of course we do have to fold in the Friday card because it is a 2-day contest. It's big money and it's a big commitment. But the Friday card, what percentage of the races have to be bet on Friday versus Saturday?
On Friday, they have to bet five races. Mandatory at $800 a race, so you have to bet $4,000 minimum on Friday. And after last year's Friday card, we weren't too happy with what they gave us, so they said they would look at giving us a better card. And for sure, we've got five overnight stakes to finish off the card on Friday, and full fields, and all the other races have full fields, and that's what the bettors like, full fields. You know, there's no five horse or six horse races, everything's seven or up to 12. So we're quite happy with Friday's card, and I was looked at Saturday's last night, and I was talking with Lauren, and I was going through every race, and I was just blown away. The fields, the quality, it's like a Kentucky Derby day or a Breeders' Cup day for quality. It's just great.
It's really a little intimidating. I printed it out last night. 41. It prints out at 41 pages, and it really is a Breeders' Cup-y Derby, type card. The features, obviously, they had kind of written their own script, but the other seven you know, very standard stakes on the, you know, on the Gulfstream calendar. Then you fold in, you know, the maiden race and the allowance races and so forth. It should make for a tremendous day. And go back to last year when we were discussing this, and you first brought up the whole, you know, the whole idea here, and you convinced Frank and the Stronach Group to put up this money, and ideally, it you know, generates similar kinds of contest offerings around the industry. I mean, if everything works the way it seems to be working. I mean, how did you even convince them to put up the bankroll, to put up the prize package?
Well, you know, Frank, he really loves the game, and he gives everything back to horse racing. And when we had the meeting, like I was saying, I said to him, you know, Frank, you got this $16 million race. You know, you should have the biggest contest anywhere. And his eyes lit up, and he said, yes, let's look into it. And, you know, being the first time, I think we offered like $235,000. And it was a great success and a great story with Eddie O winning it last year. And this year, when we started our meetings back in February, we were dealing with Tim and Nate Newby and a few other from Toronto. Sorry, I just lost his name, but the head marketing man. And, you know, we started thinking, you know, we could get a lot more feeders, people qualifying on feeders. And I believe through Nate and his people, they came up with this great idea. We just loved it when we heard it. I know we had day one prizes last year, but when they came up with this on-track bonus of $75,000 this year, where the $50,000 goes to the highest on-site finish by a player, and then 15 and 10, it was just great. And that's another thing that the Stronach Group, you know, they just decided this was a great way to, you know, get people to come, hopefully, and be on track. And, you know, adding that $75,000 was special. So now it's at $435,000. Well, we don't know the numbers. Last week we had a rough idea. We were at $110,000, and this type of contest, people don't want to really put their money out early. So talking with Nate, he says there's a good interest, a lot of buzz about people signing up this week. And again, the Express Bet, they can play on that, and that's where they usually come in late. And you know, I'm hoping 200 plus if we can.
Wow.
That would be fantastic for the second year.
Wow, that's amazing. That is a big number. And you know, for those that haven't heard the details, I mean, if you know that you can't be at Santa Anita or Gulfstream, you go to ExpressBet, and all the details are there. The $12,000 buy-in, no entry fee, and as you said, over $400,000 in prizes. And I will also throw in there's five NHC seats that come along too.
Yes, this year again, five NHC seat, one BCB seat. And I don't. Most people probably have seen my tweet regarding the five NHC seats. This is going to be the first contest for 2019. They're going to offer tour points. So hopefully, if we get 200 people, then 20 people are going to start off the year with points. And so, like I said on my tweet, to make sure that everybody is signed up prior to starting the contest. If you have any issues, you can email Michelle Ravencraft, and she'll help you out getting your tour back, your membership back in order.
No, and that, you know, that's a topic that we've reminded people so often. I mean, if you're going to ever play, if you're playing on one of the NTRA, one of their, you know, free play-ins, you have to register for the tour. You have to buy in. It's just $50, and it's
well worth the $50 because I've been to contests even in my hometown of Woodbine, and they show who's paid their $50 and a few times the person that's finished second or third, and there's no symbol beside their name, and they're missing out on one of the best experiences you can ever have by going to Vegas, and especially for the first time. It's just mind-blowing. This will be my 10th time, I think, going. So I'm looking forward every year. It's the same. I get so pumped up. And once we get through Pegasus, I'll be starting to concentrate on the NHC.
So. Well, and we're looking forward to seeing you, Ray, and not coming down this weekend, but I'll be in Vegas. Look forward to it.
It's too bad. Steve, it would be great to have you here. You know, maybe we can do something next year, and maybe you could even be live here. It would be great for the people, you know, as this contest grows.
Well, you know, actually, that's a good point. On the especially with the Friday start, that does make some sense. We'll add it to the agenda. Because you know that first year, the first year of Pegasus, we were all at NHC when the first pass at it, and then last year, you know, they pushed NHC a little further into February, and so that separated the two, and now this is year three, and so there, you know, there is a good couple of weekends between the two, but I don't know, that last year I didn't make arrangements, and then this year I sort of thought the same way, and I'm on the road literally all of February, so I didn't think to make the, you know, the January trip as well, but
I know how much you love Florida here.
I do. Last year, though, we missed the whole. It just was kind of strange. All of a sudden, I looked up. It was April, and I had not gotten. It was the first year in 15 years or more that. In fact, more, because my parents, you know, going back to the late 90s when my parents got their place in Boynton, that was the first winter I had not gone to Florida. So I missed you, and I missed Casey and everybody else. So we'll
make sure you get back next year. That's for sure.
All right.
It's a great time.
We'll see you probably in. I haven't decided about Florida Derby or Fountain of Youth yet, one or the other. So we'll be there at some point, and we're going to be on the West Coast for the HBPA convention and the Tampa Bay Derby. So it's
great.
Coming.
Yeah,
well,
it is.
Ray, I hope everybody's well, and this is going to be a lot of fun on Saturday. And for those that are on the fence, make the commitment and either partner up if you're going to play online, if you still have a chance to get to Santa Anita or to Gulfstream. There's even more in store for you. And just what's become, you know, one of the best weekends of contest play, along with, you know, BCBC, NHC, and so many of the other, you know, big day contests live. Ray, good luck to you and everybody. We'll be watching the leaderboard. The leaderboard will be easily accessible.
Well, I'll be tweeting that out, Steve, after every race.
Excellent.
That's one of my duties. So, and we also have Tom Quigley coming. So
that's right.
We're hoping to get Tom to you know, walk around the room maybe, and as people are yelling and screaming, maybe to do a little interview with them to see what they hit, and maybe he can post it on Twitter or whatever else they have out there now. I'm just a Twitter guy. I don't know anything about these other ones, Instagram and that. But it's great to have him here, and it should be a great success. So we're looking forward to it.
Good luck, and we're looking for familiar names like yours on the leaderboard. And there's always new people thrust into the spotlight as well. The Pegasus Betting Challenge Friday and Saturday, and either at the Gulfstream or Santa Anita websites or ExpressBet for all the details, and you can play right on ExpressBet if you can't get to the racetracks. Ray, best of luck, and we'll see you in Vegas.
Great. Thank you very much, Steve, and we'll see you in a few weeks. Thank you.
You got it. And Ray, unless, of course, Ray could be back if he wins, on Saturday.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Right? That's I should add that.
Be back.
Exactly. I should add that proviso. I love it. Ray Arsenault, everybody. And you follow Ray on Twitter, Arsenault_Ray. Let's take the top of the hour break. Come back and Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And we'll talk to Sid Fernando, go over the three-year-olds. That's our first big opportunity to dive into some pedigree analysis and find out about win-win-win, the son of hat trick. Then, of course, some war of will. And Sid looked at the Smarty Jones, too. Going to advance look at the pedigrees in that group. Back after this, hour two at the races.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.